This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, and you're listening to Open for Business. While our local snacks have a special place in our hearts, we also love trying snacks from other countries. And Lucas Chong of Egg Lab knows that all too well, bringing the fluffy egg-based waffle phenomenon from Hong Kong to Malaysia. He's in the studio with us today to waffle about his company, localizing flavors for Malaysian taste buds and Egg Lab's incredible expansion. So welcome, Lucas. Now, how did you discover the Hong Kong-style egg waffle?
Well, actually, I'm the co-founder of the company. So my partner, we are good friends since primary school. Then we would like to talk about business ideas ever since, during the school time. During secondary school, we explore ideas. We talk a lot about starting our own businesses. But it didn't happen all the way until when we are in our 30s. And we went to travel to certain countries quite a lot, like Hong Kong, like Japan. And he actually started this first. So he got this idea because his wife is a big fan of the waffle. And then they realized that there's nobody doing this business or selling this product in Malaysia. And then they started the first venture, and he was like, hey, I'm going to start this business. Let's do it together.
Okay, so this was 2015?
Yeah, this was 2015.
You have your other businesses as well?
Actually, I just came back from my MBA studies in 2014. And before that, I was in the IT business. And then when I came back, I got nothing to do. I got another friend who introduced me like, hey, the GST period is, implementation is coming, and it's a good time to sell accounting software, point of sale systems. Just so happened, I got a few clients in the F&B businesses as well. Then I was like, it's kind of funny. It's like everything is trying to lead me towards the F&B business.
Ah, all right. Yeah. From point of sales and the F&B restaurants, it's all F&B related.
Yeah. I got all my knowledges from other, business owners because I implement IT systems for them.
Right.
Somehow now, I mean, the business itself.
Okay. So Egg Lab is now starting 2015. 4 years, almost 5 years on, 7 outlets, right?
Yep.
How did that expansion come about? I mean, one by one and starting all these outlets.
It's kind of luck, I would say, because we started the first one in Sunway Pyramid. And then just so happened that that area of the mall, it's not a very prominent area by that time. And then we got offered a space and we tried, we took the leap of faith. And then, somehow business got really good.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people that would thought that, oh, this brand is from Hong Kong, but it's actually not. We started our own.
Right.
It's just Hong Kong inspired.
Okay. Style. How is it Malaysian then in terms of the flavors and all that?
Over here, we need to tune it a bit. Of course, the flavor, it has to be a bit sweeter.
Oh, okay.
And a bit crispier.
Okay.
The Hong Kong original flavor would be a bit fufflier.
Okay.
Yeah, and less sweet.
Okay.
Actually, we got a few localized flavor like the kaya butter flavor. You don't get this in Hong Kong. You don't get kaya flavor in Hong Kong.
Mm.
We tried lemang flavor for the Hari Raya festivals. So we try to localize our products with the local flavors.
Mm, okay. So in terms of the equipment needed to make them, is that difficult to get? I mean, like you have to get it from China, I take it?
Yeah, everything comes from China nowadays.
Okay.
But we are still trying to improve on that area because we started with consumer-based products. So now we're exploring a few options offered by the commercial producers. And we're actually looking at fabricating our own, the waffle mold to come up with different kind of sizes and shapes.
Right. And in terms of finding staff, is it a fairly easy thing to make?
It's extremely difficult.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yes. It's actually one of the challenges in this business. Mm. I think if you look at the market nowadays, you get to see a lot of foreign workers in the F&B business, in the service industry. But for us, we only hire locals.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't hire foreign workers, and we only hire locals, and we offer quite a lot of part-time opportunities for
students.
Yeah, for students, for okay. university students.
So right now, these 7 outlets, they're all owned, or are you franchising or planning to franchise?
No, all 7 are directly owned by us. Mm. We do have a plan for franchising because we just moved to a new office last month, trying to centralize most of our processes to be prepared for franchising. But at the moment, we're still looking at direct owned outlets.
Okay. How long does it take to train someone to make these egg waffles?
It's kind of funny. Actually, the training part is not that tedious or not that lengthy, but it's more on the pressure when you're working on shift. Especially during peak hours, you get a lot of eyeballs looking at you like, hey, where's my waffle?
The
why
pressure.
Is it taking
okay.
so long?
Okay, you can feel your eyes and
yeah,
your back. Okay.
Yeah, the pressure is tremendous.
Okay, so but generally, you have a combination of sweet and savory.
Yeah. Actually, we started with sweet flavors, like the basic ones, chocolate, original flavor, which is sweet by itself. And then we started exploring chicken floss. Mm. We have a golden custard, which is a bit of sweet, but more on the savory side. So we discovered this and we thought that, hey, maybe we should, you know, add more savory flavors to our product lineup. And it's kind of interesting that we have an outlet in Genting Highlands. And during holidays, we would start our business hours quite early because we noticed that people actually buy it for breakfast.
Oh, okay. The savory ones or even the sweet ones.
More on a savory one. So it's like a 6-to-4 ratio.
Okay. So when you look at all your outlets also, right, do you find that people in certain parts like this and people in certain parts like this?
In terms of flavors, I think it's still quite we didn't notice any pattern, any special pattern on the flavor choices, but we do notice that like in our Pavilion outlet,
right,
you just can't make them wait.
Okay.
Because it's just a educated guess that I'm thinking that probably, you know, the patrons over there are like financial professionals, you know, higher level management staff.
Okay.
They don't want to wait, like, you know.
Okay, so you recently had the Lemang Rendang Ayam Egget for Raya, right? So traditionally in Hong Kong, it's only sweet.
For the recent years, they have been adding more and more flavors to the lineup. And not only in Hong Kong, in China, there are a few chain outlets like us starting up these misters, and they are adding more and more flavors. So it's becoming like a bread, you know, to me.
Right.
So you can just add on anything. You can just, you know, squeeze in anything in between that sandwich.
Right.
Yeah, you can add in meat. And I remember that there's a competitor, but they are more on the fine dining side. Mm. They are adding in sausages, eggs, you know, it's really like a sandwich.
Okay, so you find that there's competition in this space? There's a lot of competition in this space?
The F&B business itself is extremely competitive in general. Mm. But I think consumers, especially millennials, they're heading towards, they're willing to spend, and they are more health conscious nowadays. So they would want to see, you know, how's their product being cooked instead of you just sit there and wait for the food to be served.
Mm.
It makes them like, oh, so if you are cooking it in an open kitchen style, you know, if they can look at it, it makes them a bit more interested, you know, to buy your products, to taste your products, especially in food.
Mm.
So I think this is a trend in the F&B business.
Right. Yeah. And the kind of customers that you get, you do get professionals, but is it largely the younger crowd?
Yeah, to be honest, well, mostly millennials, like I think 70%, because we have a membership program. So we gather members, members data from the membership program. Mm. And we do have some interesting members, like we have a professor.
Oh, okay.
So he just sign up and like doctor something something.
Right. Okay. So all kinds of people, but usually the younger crowd.
Yep.
We'll talk about market expansion in just a moment. I'm here with Lucas Chong from Agood Lab. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business. Good morning, Frida Liu here. Talking about food, our favorite topic, Lucas Chong from Agood Lab. They've been around since 2015, 7 outlets. You've also gone into Penang, right?
Yeah.
What was that like going to Penang? What's the Penang market like?
Well, it's extremely challenging as well. I think it's because like Penang is already famous for food, for snacks. So the local population, they have a certain pride in their product. Well, coming from Ipoh, I would concur that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, as an Ipoh guy, I would be like, we got a lot of good food in Ipoh. So we started quite slow in Penang, but we are gaining a fan base, especially among the younger crowds.
Mm.
I would say we are still not popular among the mass market yet, but normally youngsters they would know us and they would like us.
Right. Yeah. So trying to appeal to the young audience. You know, I guess like when was your partner and you were you in F was your partner in F&B before?
No.
Okay. So starting with the first outlet and then now with 7 outlets, what have you learned about yourselves in terms of, I guess, even right operationally, you know, some of the mistakes you've made along the way?
Well, we made a lot of mistakes, of course. Especially when you both of us, we don't have any background with F&B, not even our families, not even our relatives. So, well, I would say luckily we started in the snack the snack portion, the snack area of the business. So it's not really that complicated when it comes to cooking, because if you're talking about full service restaurants, your kitchen, you need to have a lot of equipment, you need to have a lot of wet chemical, you need to have gas licenses.
Mm.
But for us, the cooking equipment is just fairly simple.
Right.
So we don't have much challenges on the cooking side, but it's more on the operational side.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like how to operate a business from 10 to 10.
Mm.
You know, and all our outlets are located in the mall. Mm. So we can't really like, I'm late today.
Okay.
Or I want to, close early today for my family dinner or whatever.
Right.
So the human resource part is actually like 50% of the business.
Right.
Yeah, product is only 50%.
Mm.
So we used to have a very loose HR policy.
Mm.
And we got a lot of complaints, especially when, you know, when you are waiting for like 30 minutes for a piece of egg.
Right. Okay. So these are the things you've experienced.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess as you grew, the first thing was, okay, then improving on HR.
Yeah.
POS, definitely.
Yes. And coming from an IT background, so I'm actually deploying a lot of IT systems in the business.
Right.
So from an outsider point of view, you are only looking at an outlet selling egg. But at the back end, we actually have a lot of IT systems to support and to streamline the operation.
Okay. And in each outlet, how many staff would you have at most?
At most, I think it would be our Genting outlet, 7 staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the smallest one?
The smallest one it would be our Sunrise Velocity outlet. Sometimes we only have one man manning the whole kiosk.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's because it's just in terms of the crowd, in terms of the process?
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't get a consistent flow of traffic throughout the day. So we need to plan our human resource ahead.
Mm.
And we need to forecast our sales. If not, your business will be, you know, you get a lot of costs on the HR side and then it won't be profitable.
Right.
Yeah, we are actually running on, well, not a very I wouldn't say a tight margin, but still, the HR cost is a big part of the business.
So in terms of improving yourself and learning all these things, what did you have to do? What did you and your business partner have to do?
We observe a lot. We need to, like, spying. And I think everybody does that in the F&B business. When you started an F&B business, you tend to, like, visit a lot of restaurants or other outlets, and then you try their products. You know, you observe on their SOP. You look at what kind of brand of the, take for example, blender they're using. So there's a lot of trial and error, I would say, because in this business, I don't think there's any consultant or guru that can, you know, well, that can actually inspire you, or maybe that can provide some general knowledge, but every business is unique,
right?
Especially when you're starting something new. If you're not unique, you'll be gone in a short while.
Right. And I guess, what do you do in terms of marketing?
Because we know that I think we mentioned before, our target market is the millennials, the younger crowd. So most of our marketing activities are online, and collaboration with those younger platforms.
Right. Yeah. And you're only in malls. Is there a reason why?
For now, we are only in mall because we don't our product is not yet that diversified. We are only selling agates, not even like milk tea or whatever.
Right.
So we need a steady flow of traffic in order to stay profitable. So maybe in the future, we could evolve our business, or we could start a new concept like cafe style. Then we would consider having shops out of the mall.
Okay. And you've recently tied up with Grab Food to get your products delivered.
Yeah.
What was the reason behind that demand? Was it a case of demand?
Yeah, from our customer point of view. I mean, we stand on our customer point of view, and we don't want them to wait for that long, you know, to try our product, to taste our product. But that's the nature of the business. But when GrabFood, they contacted us, then we think, why not? We could try, you know.
Right.
They just order, they stay in their office. When we got our product hooked, they just come and picked up the delivery, and You don't need to queue. You queue in your office. It's like, it's okay.
what you have other plans for F&B?
I'm actually starting a new restaurant after coming back from Japan.
Okay.
It's a new concept as well.
Okay.
We actually transform an existing Chinese noodle house into a seafood noodle house, pork-free seafood noodle house.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll be using fresh seafood from the local market, and we are trying to position ourselves as a mass market product, and this is a new challenge, I would say, because like previously, my F&B experience was in egg snacks, but this is like full service restaurant.
Right, okay.
I need to learn everything about the kitchen.
When is that happening?
It's gonna...
Q4.
Actually, next month.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully. We're still renovating. Hopefully, we'll get it open next month.
Okay. So in terms of Egg Lab, what's next for that?
So we are now. We just had our new. We moved to a new office last month, and we are centralizing a lot of processes now, and hopefully we'll be opening up a few more outlets at the state of Johor. We got a lot of inquiries from Johor, like, hey, why are you guys not in Johor? I'm from JB. Whenever I come to KL, I would buy your products, but why can't you open an outlet in Johor? Because learning from the Penang experience, we couldn't, we are not in the position, you know, to start another outlet at such a distance area yet. That's why we are now centralizing our processes, our product production, and hopefully by the end of this year, we'll get our first outlet in Johor.
Right. So then you'll be in North and South.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for being with us. I've been speaking to Lucas Chong from Egg Lab, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.